Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I wanted to share a few words with you that were based on some of the things that we talked about at camp. This would be a review for Gary. Susan might have gone to class too. I'm not sure if she did. But the theme of our camp spiritually was leaving a legacy. And there was a reason for choosing that theme, namely was the 25th anniversary of the camp. Plus, Florida College does something every year called a legacy ceremony where students that have been influenced by particular teachers, when these students are graduating with their four-year degree, they honor someone at the school that has meant a lot to them. And so they'll say a few words and honor them with a coin. And so that was one of the reasons I chose this as the theme, and wasn't real sure how that was all going to work out, but I think it yielded a good result through the week. And so I want to share just part of what was taught to the kids there. When you talk about the word legacy, several different things come to mind, and one thing that obviously comes to mind, some people want to be remembered. People want to be remembered and honored by those who come after them. When you go throughout a university or even a city and you see large buildings, often those buildings are named after people. In fact, streets are named after people. When I was at Florida College, I was in the Dykus building, and you've heard that name before, A.W. Dykus, that wrote "Our God, He is alive, Lord, I believe," in some other things. And I believe he was a dean at Florida College for a while. And while I don't think he was ever campaigning to have his name on a building, that he was honored with his name to be on that building, and it's still there today. Sometimes it's those kind of honors are based on if somebody has donated a lot of money. There used to be a lot of buildings that had Richard M. Scrushy on them. Not so much anymore, because his name doesn't mean the same thing that it used to. So sometimes there are those that want to have that kind of recognition because they've had some kind of major impact on an organization. I wouldn't say there's anything inherently wrong with wanting to be remembered or wanting to be honored for your accomplishments. But the idea of leaving a legacy isn't something that should be inwardly focused. It should be something that's outwardly focused. It shouldn't be about pride, like we talked about this morning, because pride ends up hurting us in a lot of different ways. But when people are humble and they may have humble efforts to have a meaningful impact on others, many times they will leave a legacy. Well, they always will, and we'll talk more about that. But according to the dictionary, here are the definitions for the word legacy. A legacy can be a gift of property, especially personal property, such as money, of course, that is willed to someone else, or two, anything that's handed down from the past. It could be your ancestor, it could be a predecessor, or whatever. The origin of this word legacy can be traced to events after someone died and left a will. And when someone dies, there's directives in that will. Whatever the wishes are of the deceased, they need to be fulfilled. And certain people are appointed to carry out those wishes. And there are officials that do those things. A legate is one that does those things. And so that is the definition or the origin of that word in a government sense. So a legacy is something that's passed down to other people or to a society after someone has died. The lessons that we went over with the young people was how they need to start thinking about their legacy and implementing ways to be a pleasing legacy to God and be beneficial to those whom you are around. So that really was the theme for the week, and different teachers, you know, taught those lessons, and they taught the same kids all week on these subjects. Children, especially younger ones, aren't thinking about their legacy. I mean, it's the furthest thing from their mind. They're not thinking about the future. And one of the exercises that they were given in the classes was to think about where you're going to be in 10 years. Think about what you want for yourself in 10 years. Think about what you want for yourself in 20 years or beyond. And it was interesting to hear their answers. And in the particular class that I was in was a class of 10th graders. And when they were asked that question about where you want to be in 10 years, they said, well, I want to be married. I want to have a good job. I want to be able to take care of my family. I want to have kids. And then beyond that, you know, years, you know, and when they talked about being 60 and stuff, they just think that's ancient. But they would talk about, you know, be retired, have grandchildren. I don't know why they think they can retire at 60, but they talk about this. But the thing that was impressive was the things that they didn't say. I didn't hear anybody say that I want to have two boats, I want to have a beach house, I want to have two beach houses. And there was nothing materialistic about their answers. And I know sometimes children will answer the way they think that they are expected to answer, and so they know that certain answers would not be appropriate, so they go in that direction. But I was impressed with what they said. But that being said, when you talk to the younger ones about leaving a legacy, they're not thinking about that. They may think, well, there's not even 10 people in my high school that I'm having an influence on. But the truth is, you know, people do have an influence on others. In Matthew chapter 5, which we just read, that this talks about the influence that we can have on others. And it's a very familiar passage to us when we talk about salt and light, because what that talks about is the influence that we have on others. So if you look at verses 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. These verses really do get at the heart of this matter when you're talking about your influence or your legacy. It's not about money. It's not about property that we might leave others when we die. And it's not even about being remembered for your career or how good you might have been at a certain task or a certain sport. It's about living in such a way that when people get to know us, that they get to know Jesus Christ. That's what we really want to leave. And yesterday when we were coming home, there were parents that were picking up their kids from camp, and of course I was going over in my head all the things that organizationally we could have done better, and scheduling mistakes and things that I did wrong that in the future I would change. And one of the first posts on Facebook that I saw was from a mother who was ecstatic that her daughter had spent the night away from home for the first time, and she got in the car and was telling her about the Bible classes, and she said she told me that it's not about, you know, being famous and what you're remembered for, but it's about being remembered for knowing Jesus. That's what she told her mother, and thought, well, that's really what the week was about, and for her to have gotten that lesson, you know, she got what it was that was we were trying to teach. And so that's what we're talking about here when we talk about salt and light. Jesus is talking about influence, and You're either going to have it or you're not. And so, salt is something that I really, really like. And salt is something that we want on our table. Why do we want that? Well, it adds flavor to things that are otherwise bland or tasteless or flavorless. It's something that is very beneficial. If there's any seasoning that you want in your house, that's number one. It just makes food better. But Jesus says sometimes salt goes bad. It loses its flavor. Then it's good for nothing. So, as followers of Christ, how are we like salt? Well, we're either going to be good or bad. We're either going to add benefit, or we're going to have lost our flavor where our presence is not really doing anything for anyone. We want to be an influence on those that we're friends with. And we want people's lives to be better and not worse because they knew us. If we're not making people's lives better, then we have become like that salt that's worthless. We're not living up to what we are designed for. And Jesus said we're designed to be salt. And so that's our purpose. We need to fulfill that. And when we fulfill that, we are helping others to be in a right relationship with God. The other illustration that's used here in Matthew chapter 5 is light. We've talked about light before. One of the first things that Jarrell and I did when we got to the campground on Friday night, we drove to the campground after Angie's wedding, and our vehicle made it just fine, by the way, after it had rested and decided it wanted to cooperate. So we made it fine to the campground. So we walked around the campground. We had gone to Walmart and we had bought a bunch of those $1 solar lights because we weren't sure how dark the paths on the campground were going to be there at night because we'd never been there at night. Well, sure enough, we saw a lot of areas that there's going to be kids walking through here they're not going to be able to see. We've got to have some light in these areas. So we took all those lights and we spread them out throughout the campground. It came in very handy because we could have had more than one broken arm, Susan, if we hadn't had the light on the sidewalk. So light is very important. Light in a dark room is very beneficial. It's very good for obvious reasons. I've never been to the Mammoth Cave. I believe that's up in Kentucky, isn't it? And my father used to use the illustration about going up there. They take you into that cave, and then they turn off the lights. And he said it's the darkest dark that he's ever seen. He said it's so dark it feels like you can reach out and grab a handful of it, but it's so dark. And so when you don't have any light, they're completely absent. It's very startling. At the campground, we had a lack of light at night just because it was in a remote area, and the stars were so beautiful. It's the same stars that we've got here in Alabaster, but it's not the same because we have so much ambient light around us that we don't get to see it that way. But light is a great thing. When you don't have it and you need it, it's a bad thing. So Jesus talks about this. He describes the light of the city that's on a hill, cannot be hidden. People know that it's there because that light should be obvious to everyone. And he talks about having a light and not covering it up. And I know lights like we have here, they have a cover on them. And there's modern lights that will have covers on them for different reasons. But remember, the lights in these days are usually oil lamps, which wouldn't have any cover. You wouldn't cover that up. It would extinguish the light. And so you're not going to extinguish that light. You want it to be seen. And that is the way that our lives are as Christians. We want to live in such a way that our light is not hidden, that we have influence on those around us. Verse 16, Jesus talks about letting our light shine and people see our good works and they glorify God in heaven. That is describing a positive impact that we can have on others to influence them to look at God and give Him glory. And it's not about, look at me, and that's kind of the point that you have to make when you're talking about legacy, because the first thing that people think about when they hear the word legacy is maybe a football team that's doing well, and the pridefulness that comes with winning or whatever it might be, that someone has done something good and it's about a personal accomplishment. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, Abel is mentioned. We really don't know a whole lot about Abel. We know that he was killed by his brother Cain, and that Abel is recognized in Hebrews because he offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And the statement that really stands out in Hebrews 11, verse 4, is that he, being dead, still speaks. And that's always a statement that has stuck with me through the years. One reason it stuck with me is because my dad participated in a lectureship at Florida College, and that was the theme of that lectureship, was they being dead still speak. And the theme of that week was different people throughout history that have had a big impact on the church, and they talked about those. And of course, there's those that are in the Bible we talk about the same way. Well, Abel's one of them. Abel's been dead for over 6,000 years, and see, we're still talking about him because he, in the short little narrative that we know about Abel, he left a legacy of faith and righteousness because his sacrifice was something that was pleasing to God. He was obedient to God, and though he's been dead thousands of years, he still speaks to us today. And that is true of most people, that they will leave something behind as far as their remembrance. You know, more than likely, we're not going to be remembered like Abel was, or remembered by as many people as Abel. We'll be remembered by a few people. One thing that's interesting is when you go to a graveyard where maybe you have a relative buried, and you look at the tombstone, you don't really know anything about these people. It may be even those people that share your last name, and they've been deceased for a long time, and you wonder about their life. There's just a couple of things that you know. You know the beginning date, you know the end date, and you don't know what they did during the dash. Well, you know, they had an influence, but that influence is soon forgotten, depending on how famous the person might be. So it's true, probably for most of us, that what we do in our lifetime isn't going to be remembered by anyone, you know, within a short period of time, maybe a few decades of that. The lives that we've touched in the time that we live. But we can still have a tremendous influence. So I'm not saying nobody's going to remember you anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's not the point. We are having an impact. We are leaving a legacy. Marshall Reed, who helped prepare the Bible classes, he used the expression, our lives can be a blot or they can be a blessing. But no one is a blank. It's a blot or a blessing, but nobody is a blank. So, just think about the impact that you have. If you have a husband and a wife, and then you have three kids, if both the husband and the wife are Christians, and then you have three kids, and then they each have a spouse, and maybe they have three kids each, and then those kids start having grandkids, it's like a big cluster of grapes, isn't it? You can just go on and see how many people can be touched by the faith of just two people. And so that's the way we need to consider the influence that we have. If you choose to serve God, it's very likely that you are going to encourage others to do that. It may be your spouse, and if you encourage your spouse to serve God, that's a great thing. If you're both serving God, there's a good chance that you'll encourage your children to do that. And so we had the children in these classes to do this exercise just to draw that out. And then it becomes very impressive. how many people can be impacted just by a couple of people. So if you're a faithful disciple, then you will share the gospel with others. You'll encourage weak people, as we recognize in Galatians chapter 6 that we have a responsibility to encourage those who are weak. Matthew chapter 28 tells us that we need to share the gospel. So for all those that we can influence and touch, you just don't have any idea how many people will be impacted by your life, either for good or for bad. Hopefully, the influence that we had on these kids, 355 of them during the last week, was good, and that they will have an influence on others around them. The point is pretty obvious. The amount of people that you can impact directly or indirectly is enormous. And the question is not whether you will leave a legacy, but what kind of legacy you will leave. What will it be? Tonight I'd like to close this part of this lesson with a story that Marshall Reed told, because I didn't really realize this about him, but a lot of you probably know Marshall. His father is Bill Reed. His father, Bill Reed, was not raised in a Christian home. And when he was in his early 20s, there was a lady that he worked with that was having daily Bible discussions with another person that he worked with. He was not directly involved in these discussions. But he was overhearing these Bible discussions that were being had in the workplace. And so after hearing these discussions for a while, he decided to visit the 77th Street Church in Birmingham, where Bill Hall was preaching at the time. And due to all the teaching that he had heard, that he had just overheard from this lady, as well as personal study that he had begun doing, he knew that he needed to be baptized to have his sins forgiven. So on the second Sunday that he visited 77th Street, he came forward during the invitation to be baptized, and Bill Hall refused to baptize him because he wasn't sure that he knew enough or understood enough of the gospel. But Bill Hall was unaware of all the studying and the things that he had already heard. Of course, you know, Bill worked with him there, and then Bill Hall agreed to baptize him. And so that week at work, Bill Reed told this woman, who he had been overhearing her Bible studies, he told her that he had been baptized, and he explained that he had been overhearing her conversations with this other co-worker and that he had obeyed the gospel, and she was so shocked. She had no idea that he had been listening. She had no idea of the impact that she was having on him. The lady was Elaine Lawrence. I don't know if any of you know her, but she is the grandmother of Carson and Madison Crow. They're campers that were at camp. Their family attends out at Vestavia Hills. But you consider all the people that she's impacted because of her teaching. It wasn't just Bill Reed, but Bill's spouse and children, including Marshall, and then Marshall's wife and children, Penn Reed, Johnson Reed, Casey Reed, all who are Christians and were at camp, and now he is a preacher. You know, Marshall Reed is a preacher at the North Gardendale congregation, and he's teaching many people and trying to help bring others to Christ. And so you look at Elaine Lawrence's legacy that she didn't even know that she was teaching somebody that she didn't even know she was teaching. And it really is a remarkable story about how many lives that she touched just because she understood that she had a responsibility to share the gospel, and that's what she was doing. Somebody overheard it, and it prompted them to study. And that family has a a legacy now of helping others obey the gospel. So there are many other stories just like that, but that's one that Marshall shared at camp because it certainly directly affected his family. You may know of others that have done the same thing. So, that's an introduction to the things that we talked about during the week. And we are hopeful that as the years go by, that seeds have been planted so that others will grow from this, and others will become children of God, and that they will especially understand that their lives can be an influence on others. So I hope this will be an encouragement to you to be salt and light. It's very important, and Jesus doesn't want us to be ineffective. Salt is talked about as being something that is an effective tool. Light is there because it's not to be hidden. The gospel is there and it's available, but it's only going to be heard if people will open up the book and share it with others. Let's do that. Let's fulfill our responsibility when it comes to sharing the gospel of Christ. If we can help you in any way tonight respond to that gospel, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.